is what jumps into my head, and that's what I said. But where's our hope and our trust? The Lord is for us. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I like he says that in verse 5. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. No, that's Psalm's way of saying entering a great, grand area. Something large and valuable. In verse 8, he says it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. See, we have to remember that our faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Look, and so the immediate context, the practical application in Hebrews is, okay, make sure that your character is free from depending and loving money. Your character has to be first and foremost, and your treasure has to be Jesus Christ. Amen? Then from there, everything else takes care of itself. Right? So there's the practical application. But look, this is true for all areas of our faith. It doesn't have to be money. The thing, I've never really been one when I've had money and haven't had money, ever sat around and just worried about money. I like to worry about other things. And I told you, I'm really good at it. Hasn't ever helped me, but I'm really good at it. What we got to remember in a big picture sense is that our faith is in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we need that reminder, brethren, that our faith is in Jesus and it's not necessarily in people. Look, we are in the relationship business, and so we really care about people as we should, but people are just going to disappoint you. The world is just going to let you down. It cannot fulfill that need. It is the world, a wicked and perverse generation, Paul says. It is only the Lord God that can fill that hole. And our faith is in Jesus Christ. It's not in humanity. And it's because of our faith and our love for Jesus Christ that we try to be the light to humanity. But that can't be the source of our faith. But sometimes people are a bummer, man, and they let us down and we let it hold us back. We got to kind of wake up sometimes and remember, yeah, I do want to go to assembly on Lord's Day because I'm there for Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, people keep us from the assembly sometimes because they bum us out. And they do. I'm sure I've bummed some of you out. I get it. But where is our faith and our hope? It's standing behind Joshua entering the promised land. Knowing that because he is leading us in, we will have victory. You know, I like when Jesus says, if you love those who love you, you aren't doing anything that requires faith, let alone God's Spirit. He says the world does that. But everybody in the world loves their kids. Everybody in the world loves their friends. Right? That's not the love that Jesus came preaching. That's a new but different commandment. Right? I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Reagan, it's my daughter. I didn't plan it this way, but I ended up realizing I leaned forward on Friday night and I told Noah Miller, I said, you're a preacher's kid, and anything you say can and will be used against you in a message. And I know which one of them is the biter. his mom told me. And I didn't mean for it to be this way, but, you know, kids are just walking sermon illustrations, so... Ethan, yeah, it's Reagan's turn. But she has, as most kids do, developed two irrational fears. number one, she's absolutely terrified of the dark. And this one's new. She's my brave, bolsterous child, and now she's scared of things, which is new for us. And, you know, we were there at the assembly building late one night, and she almost couldn't even go to the car. Even with me, she was so scared of the dark. And I'm like, but I'm dad, and nothing can conquer us when you're with me. And she's like, nope, yep, still scared. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, but where's my mom? Yeah. But dad is strong, right? And nothing can conquer dad. Where's my mom? Okay. Well, you know, dads have daughters, and they wanted to snuggle them on the couch, you know, and
I'm still waiting for that. You know, where's mom? The second irrational fear that she has developed is she is absolutely convinced that we are going to leave her behind. Absolutely convinced. Has never happened. It's irrational. Absolutely convinced that we're going to leave her behind. Dad's going to work. You know, dad's leaving the house. Okay, well, just hysterical crying. What if you guys leave me behind and there's no one here? And then, you know, and then the darkness gets me, you know, whatever it is. But to her, that's very real, right? It is irrational. But to her, it is a gripping, paralyzing fear. Now, it's not based in reason, but it is still paralyzing and gripping for her. Brethren, our God will never leave us behind. Never forsake you. Never desert you. Never leave you behind. I read this on the way out here, day before we left, actually, and I wanted to share it with you. The 1957 Harvard study was done. They placed rats in a pool of water to test how long they could tread water. On average, they'd give up, sink, and drown after 15 minutes. But right before they gave up due to exhaustion, the researchers would pluck them out, dry them off, let them rest for a few minutes, and put them back in for a second round. In the second try, how long do you think they lasted? I mean, I'm telling it as a story, so you know it's longer than the first time, right? How long? Someone's seen the post. How long do you think they lasted? Remember, they just swam until failure just a few moments ago, right? 15 minutes, swam to failure, gave up, were rescued, dried off, 5 minutes later, put back in. How long do you think they lasted? 60 hours. Isn't that absolutely incredible? 5 minutes before, the brain said, we're toast. Time to give up. Can't do it. 15 minutes of struggling. What is the difference between the 15-minute try and the 60-hour try, brethren? Hope. That there is actually a way out and there is rescue from my distress. Shows up in Ephesians, doesn't it? One Lord, one God, one faith, one hope of your calling. God will never leave you behind. Reagan thinks we're going to leave her in the dark. But don't we, it's not rational, but we do it. When I'm sitting there worrying my problems away, I've already given up. So you've got to rely on the Lord. Have some faith. First, make sure we're not holding down the accelerator to our own oncoming ordeal. They go, okay, yeah, okay. This one's on me. Okay. How powerful is that? 60 hours. I want you to turn on over Revelation chapter 20. I just grab a few verses here. Verse 14, picture of judgment. It says, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So the second death is hell. the lake of fire. And for any of those who are not Christians and have had not their name written in heaven, then they found themselves in death in Hades. And on judgment day, death in Hades will give them up and they will be thrown into the second death. Jump ahead here to verse 6. Again, trying to just wrap this up. In verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. What can man do to me? They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. You know, I had this Bible study. This couple just recently became a Christian. And I like to start my Bible studies, you know, do you have any questions, anything you read this week, anything that you've been thinking about for the last few years? And because I think that's about the greatest thing you could study. They kept saying, well, can you teach us about the rapture? Can you teach us about the Lord's second coming? I said, oh, yeah, you know, we'll do that down the road. Okay, next week we come in. What's your question this week? Well, I really want to know about the rapture. You said in your message that the Bible never mentions the rapture. You know, we want to know. Okay, yep. You know, we'll teach you that down the road. Let's keep. You know, we'll lay down some. And I couldn't put them off any longer. Okay, so I went the route, and I forget who said it. I'm sorry, but I went the route of basically the. You know, the whole purpose of the rapture is to get the church out of the way so God can get back to his regular scheduled program. And the reason why they got to get rid of the church is because they don't see the church in the Old Testament. So I did 2 weeks, and what I did is I showed the church in the Old Testament. I showed prophecies of the priesthood and of the land being restored and of the temple being restored, and then showed that the New Testament says those are fulfilled in the church. Then we read Matthew 24 and then Revelation 20 and wrapped it up. And they got it. But when it went off in his eyes, that moment that Steve was talking about last night, when it went off is when I said, well, when I read, they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign for 1,000 years. And he said, isn't the Christian a priest? I said, bingo. Who is it that reigns with Jesus as a priest, has then undergone a resurrection? The Christian. Old life buried in God, raised to walk in newness of life, saved by the gospel as you participate in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because the Christian has done that, we are free from the second death, the lake of fire. What can man do to you? I suppose he could kill you, and then you go to heaven. What did Hebrews 13:6 say? The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Let's put our faith in the Lord. You know, I had a really cool conversation. When I was first working with the congregation there in Billings, I wasn't exactly sure how to file my taxes. Okay, didn't file out an I-9. Didn't get a W-2, but boy, this is a lot more complicated than I really want to deal with. And it just so happened that a family friend from when I was in junior high is an accountant downtown. So I went down there and I said, look, this is the situation. I've been working in the restaurant for 12 years. Now I'm not. What do I do? He said, okay, I mean, it wouldn't be that hard for you to do it on your own, but I like you and we can do it for cheap. So you know, he's sitting there kind of, okay, you know, do you have any expenses, any allowances, you know, how do you get paid, all this stuff. And he was a little confused in the beginning. And then he just kind of said, okay, and what about retirement? And I said, oh, no retirement package. He goes, oh, Nolan, I love you. I love you, pastor type. You know, yeah, I get it. The work never ends. So when are you going to retire? I was like, I'm not. See, that was hard for him to understand. Oh, I know you preacher type, you retire, but the work never ends. You're going to work. Okay. You know, that makes sense. I was like, oh, I'm serious. I mean, it's not like this is going to throw my back out. You know, I mean, sometimes I'm up here and get a little rambunctious, but, you know, it's not like Bible studying at the coffee shop is going to blow a disc in my back, you know. So as long as I can keep speaking, I'm going to keep working, right? And so he had really a hard time understanding that, and now he's been helping me for a number of years, so he gets it. But how is our retirement package, brethren? I mean, is it actually out of this world? Yeah. So what can the world take from you? A few bucks? Some freedoms? You know? Try to destroy morality? You know, okay. But they're going to do it. But what do you got? Where's your faith, hope, and trust? In the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord our God.